everyone. Welcome back to Quarter Tattoos and Rosé, where we go through and discuss all things romantic-y with Madison and me, Blake. I'm not lying. Maddie's here.
Against her will.
No, she volunteered. I even said, I was like, look, Caitlin's not going to be here. I can do it solo. Like, people have said they like the Blake's musings. Like, I'll do it solo. She's like, no, it's okay. I got you, boo. And I was like,
oh, I haven't been on a Sunday episode in a bit.
In a bit. That's all right. So it's going to be our 11th episode for Crescent City. We're going to do chapters 20 and 21 of House of Earth and Blood. As always, we curse, we spoil things, so be prepared. We got to get, there's a lot of pages in these two chapters, but it's not, a lot of info done. You know what I mean? Like, they're not, clunky per se. And then we got to keep a good pace. Maddie made a horrible life decision and has to drive Eric to the airport to Vegas, but is not going to Vegas.
It's for a work conference. It's not
that,
like,
that just means you would be left alone. Okay,
wait.
To do
so
your
I
own
told
shit.
Him this. I told him this, right? Like, when he was planning it originally, he goes, "No one's spouses go. They don't do it." And I was like, "I guarantee you, they do."
No. Okay, but also, no. That's what I was gonna say. Nobody would need to know you're even there.
But then comes to find out, the partner's wife is going, and I was like, "Go fuck yourself!" Like,
that's harsh.
I was like,
harsh.
I could have gone.
Honestly, you know what it is, Maddie. You have one of the most addictive personalities. Eric is like, for the sake of our well-being, Maddie cannot go to Vegas.
I just wanted to go to, like, the spa and, like, do some, like, spa shit.
You were telling me you wouldn't step foot in a casino.
Ironically, I don't like to lose money. I'm kind of with Eric on this. We don't gamble. And, like, the only thing I ever wanted to do in Vegas, he ruined for me. So, I always wanted a Vegas wedding. That's all I wanted when I was younger. Like, I just wanted to get married in Vegas so bad. It was my dream. It was my lifelong dream. And he ruined it for me. And he wouldn't go with me. He wouldn't go with me. I just wanted a wedding in Vegas. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. You know me. Like, the, like, spontaneous marriage thing, that's my kryptonite. That's my crack. Right?
How old were you when you started this dream in your head?
I had to be, like, 15 or 16.
Okay.
Like, that's, it's all I wanted.
Little 8-year-old Maddie was like, I want Elvis to officiate my wedding in Vegas.
No, I just wanted to get married
in Vegas.
To be clear,
because I have nothing against Vegas weddings. Just the fact of, I thought she meant, like,
I didn't want anyone to know. Like, I just wanted to, like, go and be spontaneous.
I'm for it.
Well, I mean, I had a COVID wedding, so I
saved a fuckload anyway. Yeah, you did save a shit ton of money.
But, like, that's what I wanted. That's all I wanted.
He should take you and, like, do they do vow renewals? Like, quickie vow renewals? Or is that not the same?
It's not the same, you know? Like, yeah, we're already married. Everyone already
knows.
Maybe
divorce, remarry, it's fine. All right. Okay, so recap. Chapters 18 and 19, really just the main thing you need to remember is, one, Bryce keeps just fucking with Hunt, basically. He keeps making really bad assumptions about her. She does not correct him. And the Viper Queen's a fucking bitch. Look. On site for a multitude of reasons. Again, multitude of reasons throughout all three books, but that's not really it. I don't qualify that as a spoiler for Flame and Shadow. That's just kind of an overarching. She's just a bitch. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, she's just a bitch. Like, not even in, like a badass bitch, you know, where it's like, oh, she's a bitch, but, like, I love the villain energy. Yeah. No, she's just a raging bitch. And I hate her. And that's your recap. That's literally all you need to know. The one thing she did say, look towards where it hurts the most to Bryce, and Bryce really takes that to heart. And Hunt antagonizes her, which, as we know by the end of this book, comes back to bite him in the ass. Yeah, that's pretty much it. She's a piece of shit. She's a piece of shit. Yeah. All right. So, like I said, Bryce took that look where it hurts the most to heart. So, we open up chapter 20. She is down in the gallery's, like, secret library. And she's basically, she'd compiled the list of Danica's movements. And let's just say it wasn't going well. She was, like, physically ill from having to go through the memories, which, like, this is literally just, you're essentially, like, putting yourself through torture. like emotional torture doing this. Not great, but we do get this chapter a lot of Lele. I don't know. Leheba? Is that how do you say Leheba? I call her Lele. Okay, I call her Lele, so I've always just called her Lele. Let's go with that. We get more of her little setup down here, which it is sad because you remember, like, she doesn't get to leave.
I'm sorry. I remember everything depressing about this book.
Well, I meant for, like, listening.
I was like, I remember.
I know you do. She's got, like, a good little setup here with, like, basically an iPad that she watches some horny soap operas. She's got, like, a little fainting couch and, like, basically stuff from, like, Bryce's dollhouses when she was younger because Lily's small.
Horny soap operas. Desalondo Bangs and Bangs.
And, of course, Lily's, like, she's thirsty, okay? I love this about her. She's like, you know, like, you seem frustrated. You could let the angel down here. You could let the hot angel down. And Bryce is just like, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Lele is, like, obsessed with him. Bryce loves to make Lele blush. We know that, like, Danica and Lele kind of, like, butted heads a lot. Danica would, like, antagonize her on purpose just to make her, like, burn brighter just for the thrill. But Bryce, like, kind of gibs her all the time, but, like, not as bad. Bryce literally is like, I don't know, there's, like, a big size difference between you and Hunt. Like, your hands wouldn't even wrap around his dick.
Yummy. And
that's sad. That's sad. Poor Lele. You know, poor Lele. So, again, she's watching this, like, thirsty. Honestly, I don't need an ACOTAR show. Give me Fangs and Bangs.
Dude, Desalondo Amor. Oh, my God. What the fuck? I'm just sitting here.
So somehow, guys, one, first off, do not bring that. So, God, not.
I love Desalondo Amor!
Jesus. Also, remember how we keep bitching about, like, the thumbs up, thumbs down, like, the emojis on Apple?
I haven't even
Maddie's
moved.
Literally sitting here. Her hands are not in focus, like, in camera, and it keeps thumbs upping, and she's getting very, like, visibly unnerved.
Well, I haven't moved. I've literally just sitting here.
Does it think your mic thingy is a thumb? Like the little bloop?
No,
I don't know. I don't know. Let's see here. Oh, right. So they're talking about the Fangs and Bangs. You know, Lily's like, they make love. They it's not like that. It's romantic. And Bryce is like, they fuck. And of course, we get more of, for not liking Hunt, we talk about his bedroom a little bit, bedroom prowess a little bit, because Bryce is basically like, Lele, Hunt's not the one to, like, make love. Like, he's the type to bend you over a desk. And that's when she gets a call. And you're like, oh my God, did Hunt hear her somehow outside? No. It's Jezebel, which is even more awkward because Jezebel has cameras. So Jezebel was somewhere, was just listening to this conversation and was like, okay, we're done here. I would say that's mildly creepy, but then I remember that Jezebel and her cameras really come in clutch at the end of this book. So basically Jezebel's just like, go back to work. Like, what are we doing? And Bryce does stand up for her and was like, hey, she's entitled to, like, a mid-morning break. Yikes. So Bryce keeps trying to do the, like, memories and walk through Danica's basically final, like, week or so. And she can't do it. And she, you know, she's desperate because she calls Hunt. And even he's like, everything, like, what's wrong? And she's like, what do you mean? She didn't even think it through because he just goes, you've literally never called me. And she's like, fuck. Okay, well, whatever. I need you to help me. And so she lets him inside. And she's, like, really nervous to let him inside because she's going to take him down into the library. We know there's a bunch of shit down there. Once again, he assumes she pulls out a reusable. Okay, so she pulls out the bottom drawer of her desk. She gets a reusable bottle and drinks from it, right? Uh-huh. He automatically assumes, like, oh, a little early to be drinking, isn't it? Is it just, because to me, like, a reusable bottle, I'm just going to assume it's water, like, a reusable bottle of water. If it was, like, a plastic bottle that had seen better days and it was filled, you know what I mean?
Well, if we're in our college era.
I don't know. Is it just because it was in the bottom drawer of the desk? Because to be fair, I know, like, I had at least two doctors. What? No, not doctors. That'd be worse. Two teachers in high school that had special bottles in their bottom drawers that they would drink from. True story. So, like, I think it was just because it was in the bottom drawer.
Maybe.
I don't know. It always just, like, I remember the first time I read that. I was like, one, again, with the assumptions annoying. But two, I don't know. That's not where my mind goes.
Maybe we're in our college era.
Maybe, maybe. So while she's talking, Layla is like, I'm seeing that angel no matter what. So she's at the door like, BB, are you okay? I hear a strange voice. Are you okay? I need you to let me know. Like, she's dramatic AF. Just like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to protect. Are you good? Are you good? And of course, Bryce is like, just go downstairs. Like, do your job. Go down back downstairs. And so Bryce, I don't know. I mean, obviously, again, Jezebel has cameras, so she would have, like, I would assume if she had seen this happening and didn't agree, like, would have stepped in. Mm-hmm. But Bryce makes a decision to basically be like, okay, I'm going to let you downstairs. You're not allowed. It's Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club, right? Yep. Like, shut the fuck up. He even says, okay, but, like, Micah can make me talk if he asks. So she's just like, oh, just don't give him a reason to ask.
Right.
Right. Okay. So, like, a lot of trust here for a guy that you don't like at the moment, but okay. So, Hunt is just like, a lot of this is contraband, isn't it? She's like, are you stupid? Most of, like, what is in the gallery is contraband, and it's out for the public, essentially. And we get a little bit more about the library that we know by the end of this book. We learn about it, and then we learn more about it in book two. And I'll leave it at that. Huh. Some of these books and scrolls are the last known copies in existence. A lot of people suffered and died to preserve what's in the library downstairs. Yikes. We find out, like, she's even said, like, she hasn't read a lot of them yet. They're in long dead languages or they're coded. But we find out she learned a year ago what they truly were, and also that the Asteri and the Senate would literally, not only would they order them to be, not only would they order them to be destroyed, like, there would be a lot of consequences, let's put it that way. But we don't know where Jezebel got them. Like, Bryce kind of assumes Jezebel got them on her own through her travels, but, like, how, who knows? And then maybe from the Underking, she does work, like, kind of, like, directly for him. You just don't know. So there's that.
Unknown.
So Hunt just goes, like, I won't say a word. And I'm like, okay. Okay. So, getting to meet Hunt is Lily's birthday present, basically, which, honestly...
Presh.
My birthday's coming up. If anybody could make that happen, that's a great birthday present. I'm just gonna...
Yeah, I don't have that for you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know you would if you could, and that's what matters, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'd do that for you, baby.
I love you for that. I love you. So Lily's like, they open the door and she's like right there, like, just like, hi. Honestly, again, this is me.
I'm just, yeah, picturing you, really.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, hi. Yeah. And she's like, hello. And he just looks at her and he's like, well, aren't you beautiful? His voice low and soft in a way that made every instinct in Bryce sit up. This man is using his bedroom voice on an, like, a little fire sprite. Love it. Lily's literally acting like she's, like, super shy, and Bryce just is like, stop. Just stop. Like, stop simping. Lily looks him up and down, and he's being really nice to her, and in front of Hunt goes, BB, I don't know why you complain about him so much.
I mean, like, I have to agree. I'm like, I don't understand. I guess, like, this is what makes it not believable for me, is, like, the amount of, like, hatred SJM's women have for these men. I'm like, I just, is not believable to me.
Especially because you and I both would fold.
Yeah, like, it's just not believable to me. Like, I just don't believe it.
I honestly, more so for Bryce, I understand it because of, like, the Fae and, like, how she's grown up with how men have treated her and everything like that. But some of the other characters, not just in this series, but the other series that are, like, just from the get-go, I'm just like...
I will never understand Nesta. Never. Okay. I will never be on that.
Yeah, I will never be on that. That's all right. I know we're different there, but that's okay. Mine is probably... why am I blanking?
Like, I understand... I understand Elaine's hatred more than I understand Nesta.
Okay, but is Elaine even hate... Sorry, guys, we're getting off topic. It's okay. Is Elaine... I don't even know if it's hatred so much as
her,
like,
her original, you know, resistance. I understand more.
You know what it is? It's not hatred for Elaine. It's, you're not Grayson.
Oh. See, okay, but here's why I understand this. Like, listen, she's in love with Grayson, right or wrong, bad guy, whatever. She's in love with him. I understand that. Yeah. I don't understand the just hatred of being Faye. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I mean, I understand the whole being in love. Like, that makes sense to me. I can buy it.
I just, with Elaine especially, I just think we're going to find out that, like, after she turned Fae when she was in her really dark period, I have a feeling that poor girl was, like, seeing some crazy shit consistent. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a possibility.
I can only imagine.
Because, like, yeah, she didn't have her power. I don't know, man. Okay. Let's see. All right. Okay. So we're walking down into the library. Hunt meets Syrinx. And I've always thought this was interesting. Lily's like, oh, he says you can brush him now. And Hunt's like, Ciri talks? And Bryce just goes, according to her, he does. Does he actually talk to her? Like... I'm, like, very confused. Like, I don't know. That whole thing, I'm like, what? I hope so. I love Syrinx. Lily almost spills the beans because she's like, oh, half of this is Jezebel's private collection. And some of the books date all the way back. And then Bryce is like, bro, shut the fuck up. Huh.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah, like, cool. Okay, shut up. Lele, once again, is just spilling the beans. She's like, oh, don't mind Bryce. She's cranky because she can't do this, like, can't do this list, you know. And then she's like, oh, she pretends to. And then she spills another secret. She's like, oh, Bibi pretends to be mean, but she's a softie. She bought Ciri because Jezebel was going to gift him to a warlord client in the Farkin Mountains. Lele, shut up. And that's when Hunt was like, because he thought, you know, he was some expensive designer pet, like, trend, you know, like a trendy thing.
Yeah.
And Lele's like, oh, no, to be clear, he is a designer pet. He was, and then we find out poor Syrinx was stolen from his mom as a cub, traded for 10 years, Jezebel bought him, got bored with him, threatened to give him to a warlord. Like, poor Syrinx has gone through it in a decade. Gone through it. And then Bryce bought him. But... didn't actually buy him. She freed him. She bought his freedom. So he's not her pet. He actually even has, like, the freed tattoo, everything like that. And that's when Bryce just, like, or Hunt turns to look at Bryce, like, what? And I love this. She, again, I don't know how many times she has to keep kind of saying this to him. Like, hey, man, you're the one that keeps assuming. She literally is like, you did the assuming. I just, like, it's not my job to correct your assumptions. Like, right. You need not have your fucking assumptions. And then, again, Lily just, like, keeps going. How much do you cost, Hunt? Awkward.
S.O.S.
And then we find out Hunt was bought by Micah, which in and of itself, 85 million gold marks. To put it in contrast, Lily was, what was she, like, 90,000 gold marks. Syrinx was 233,000 gold marks. And that's when Hunt's like, how the fuck are you, like, do you pay that? No, no. We find out Bryce got a 50% discount, which, you know, okay. Slightly good, like about 30-ish thousand marks off. Cool. And then, you know, we came to an arrangement. Nope, Lily's not letting her to get away with that. She's like, oh, let me tell you the full story. So actually, Bryce pays a little bit out of every paycheck. And she'll be paying it off till she's about 300. Unless she doesn't make the drop and dies first. Thank you, Lily. And Hunt's just like, why would you do that? Because, you know, like, he doesn't have any connection to Siri yet. He's just like, what are you doing? And she, this is very sad. Because that warlord wanted to hurt and break him until he was a fighting beast. And Syrinx is my friend, and I was sick of losing friends.
Oof. Wow.
Once again.
The emotional turmoil.
Harsh. And then here we go, another assumption. Hunt's just like, I thought you were loaded. And Bryce is like, LOL, nope, not at all.
Money, what is that?
Yep. And Hunt's just like, but the apartment. And then we find out the apartment was an investment property of Danica's. Bryce didn't know about it. Danica transferred ownership to her and Bryce. And Bryce literally only found out about it after Danica died. And the only reason she kept it was because it had top-notch security, ward spells. And, I mean, after your old apartment is broken into and, like, an entire pack of very, very powerful, like, best friends of yours are slaughtered, you probably want some security in your new place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So, even just thinking about it, like, it kind of, like, the darkness starts to take hold of Bryce. And, unfortunately, Maddie and I both know this. I hope you guys don't, but that anxiety, that depression, ugh. It's always there. It's always there waiting for
me. Bitch!
Retweet. and we find out, and this is really sad, and I think actually for a lot of people this is true, unfortunately. Bryce even admits she should have gone to therapy. Like, she should go to therapy. She should be in therapy. She knows it works. She knows it works. People have made her appointments. We hear Juniper is gone since she was a teenager and is like, will tell anybody and everybody, like, go to therapy. Even if you don't think you need it, like, it doesn't hurt. Like, just go. Her mom had made appointments. Like, she'd made appointments. She'd never gone. And the thing is, she knew it would work and help. And probably make her feel better. Or at least give her the tools to try to do so. That was precisely why she hadn't gone. It's punishment. It's torture to herself. Survivor's guilt to the extreme. I mean, that's awful. So after that little, like, you know, stab to the heart. We do get back to the funny stuff where Hunt sees what's on Lily's iPad. I'm going to call it an iPad. It's basically an iPad. And without missing a beat, and I'm going to be real honest, up until this, I thought the show was actually called Fangs and Bangs. Because he goes, you watch Fangs and Bangs? And Lily's like, are you fucking kidding me? Did Bryce tell you to say that? Like, what the hell? So it's not actually called Fangs and Bangs. Did not realize that. That's just like the colloquial term for it because, you know, horny, like there was a vampire and a werewolf, like, going at it. And that's like a cute little moment where, like, Bryce is like, oh, it says the same thing. Like, it's a cute little time. And Lily is like, just like, fuck you both. I'm going to take a nap with Siri. She goes and curls up and, like, puts his, like, tail around her, like a fucking, like a fur drape thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the, what are they called? Where it's around, you know what I'm not a scarf, but like a whole thing. And Lily just, like, calmly is like, oh, by the way, don't let the books sweet talk you into taking them home. What the fuck are these books? These books are creepy. And sure enough, like, one, like, drops to the ground and Lily just goes, I'm napping, get back up there. So it, like, slinks itself back up on the shelves. Awkward. We get a little bit more, you know, about how Jezebel, like, all the creatures are Jezebel's ex-lovers or people that have offended her. And even Hunt's like, yeah, I'd heard the rumors. And Bryce is like, I'm never going to actually ask her. And I'm also going to actively try not to become one, which I'm like,
Smart.
So we, like, Hunt asked what probably a lot of us were wondering. I know I was, where he's like, how did you get this job? So basically, she was a, let's see here. Oh, at school, she did study antiquities. She was a classical literature major. Nice. We find out she had taught herself the old language of the Fae, which we know, at the end of Sky and Breath, especially, comes in handy. We find out she did it to impress her dad. She planned on when she first got to meet him, like, you know, pulling out that old Fae language, and he'd be like, oh my god, that's so cool. That's not how it went down. And because of that, she refused to learn another language, which I'm like, you know what? She says it's childish, but I'm like, no, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
So finding out, we find out she took some classes, everything like that. But how did she get with Jezebel? Fury, of all people. Fury and Jezebel got acquainted, caught up on something that Jezebel was doing with, and Fury got caught up in it from her side of things in Pangaea. And Fury, being a good friend, literally was like, you need an assistant, and just like shoved Bryce's resume at Jezebel and was like, hire her, hire her, hire her. And so Jezebel offered her the job. She was like, basically, I don't want an uptight priss. Like, you've got to have social skills. This is like, you know, some shady shit. You know, old Fae. And that was that. That was that. Hunt tries to like be like, oh, how do you know Fury? Like, what's going on with Fury? And Bryce, to her credit, is just like, Fury does what Fury does. She's my friend. I ain't no snitch. Fuck you. We get a little more, like, see, this is just, like, random information throughout this chapter. We get a little more, Randall, her stepdad, her dad, honestly, was a badass. So all humans have to serve in the military for 3 years. Kind of ridiculous, just, like, a bit. He was, I'm pretty sure he's, like, a sniper. He's, like, known among a lot of circles, like, the Randall. And he's got some PTSD about it, which fair, definitely fair. Hunt is basically like, oh, like he's going through his own suspect list. So he's like, you don't think Fury was involved? And like Bryce is like, no, like Danica's death was not tied to that. Like, it's just, you know, we find out one thing that I will forever and always be a Shahar hater. The rebellion that that Hunt was involved in was 200 years ago. He's only 233 people. He was 33, and 33 is not like human 33 for angels. 33 is like super young. Even Bryce is like, that's super young to be leading a rebellion, everything like that, because his power made him invaluable and Shahar needed him. I will, and let me make this clear, even today, after all the books, everything, will forever be a Shahar hater. Come at me if you will. I do not care. Bullshit. Fucking groomed him. Anyways, so then we also find out he just casually is like, have you killed someone before? And Bryce is just like, yep. That's it. That's all we get. And we get like she apparently something, it was in their senior year. Her and Danica had been in an accident. But whatever had happened, that was finally where, like, the final barrier had fallen between them. The truth laid bare. Danica said, I love you, which is a huge thing for her. And that's all we get. And even Lily's like, she won't tell me, like, let it go. So Hunt's trying to, like, interrogate her, essentially, to help her get the memories flowing. And one happy thing she remembers is the tattoo. Interesting. Just saying, interesting. And that's enough to kickstart Bryce. She starts just writing. Like, she gets in her feels and just starts writing. Up until we get a text from Rune that says, meet me in Luna's at Luna's temple in 30 minutes. And Bryce is like, what? Why? Because it's the only place without cameras. Convenient if you want to steal Luna's horn, which somebody did. And so Bryce is like, should I tell him you're coming? And Hunt's like, nope, let's go. Because him and Rune just, it's a dick measuring contest every time they're together at this point. I personally would be a judge for that. I would take that hit for society. You know, very hands-on you're judge. So I'd selfless. Be involved. I am. I know. It's my cross to bear. All right. So chapter 21, we get like a lot about Luna's temple. You know, she is, like, Rune's chilling there, but Luna herself, there's a giant 30-foot statue of her. She's carved in shimmering moonstone. There's a silver tiara with a full moon held by two crescents at her hair. Seems familiar. There's twin wolves at her feet. Seems interesting. She's got a bow full of solid, like, the bow itself is solid gold, and then she has a quiver of, I think they're, yeah, silver arrows, and we find out they have diamonds on the tips later in this chapter. Like, of all the things to steal, I feel like I would have gone for those, not the horn that was supposedly broke. I guess if you knew it could be repaired, okay, take the horn, but, like, I don't know, I'd be taking some of those arrows, too, I'm just saying. We find out that Luna is actually the patron god of the Fae and the wolves. Interesting. So the wolves are at her feet, and the quiver of bows and everything. Those are like nods to the wolves. So we find out, like, the Fae hate that the nod to the Fae was the horn, right? Because of Peleus and all that. And it's been gone. So even Rune, who we were laughing at, like, the Autumn King, who was like, oh, like, I want it for the people. Like, we need our symbol back. Even Rune is like, I fucking hate this. So we find out this temple was actually the first thing that they built when Lunathian was founded 500 years ago. The city was selected because of the way the Istrus River bends through the land. It almost sounds like the Sidra in Valaris, how the river is like through the city and they built around it. And of course, you know, haha, Crescent City, it's because, you know, the river's like a crescent. Fair enough. Clever. So Bryce and Hunt are basically just hiding out at the back of a tour group, and they're like looking for Rune, and he's shadowed himself, which is cool. It's cool. We kind of learn about it. He like lets them go back so Bryce and Hunt can see his face. They walk over. He's able to envelop them in shadows, which is cool. So it's like part of his power. His shadows come from his mom's side, the Avalon Fae. But he can't block out like noise, so they still have to be kind of quiet. And Rune is like, I asked you to come, not him. And Bryce just, like, slips her arm through Hunt's and, like, leans against him. And she's like, oh, sorry, we're the bestest of friends now. We're joined at the hip. And Hunt's like, the best. And he's grinning. So, like, you're starting to see their dynamic, like, evolve. And Rune literally, Luna shoot him dead. This would not end well.
Probably not.
We'll see. Yeah, so we get more about the arrows, of course, are pure silver with tips of diamond. I would like that for my birthday. I'll take a silver arrow with a diamond in it if somebody's got that handy. I don't know what I'd do with it, but it seems cool. And they sound cool until they were fucking donated by Micah. And as we all know, fuck Micah. Fucking creep. So that's when they're like, Rune, like, what are we doing here? What's going on? And he finally is like, the Autumn King asked me to find Luna's horn. And so that's when they're like, oh, that's why you asked about it the other day. But like, he can't, he's still under orders to like, still kind of be like secretive about it. We also just like a passing thing. They sacrifice stags to Luna.
I just read a stag romance.
Oh, is it good?
It was good.
Oh, I like that. Hopefully they don't get sacrificed.
They don't.
Okay, good.
But stags were being murdered at the beginning. It was a whole mystery.
Oh, no. They were going to Luna.
Yeah.
They were going to Luna. So Hunt is just like, what the fuck is this horn? Like, it's really more of a fae item, so he's just like, what's going on? Bryce is like, it's made up. It's fairy tale crap. Is it, Bryce? Is it? This is awkward. So our first kind of introduction, sort of, to the horn, like, a real, not a full deep dive, and, like, you know, as we all know, not full story. Okay, so Luna's horn was wielded by Peleus, the quote-unquote first Starborn prince. During the first wars, the Fae forged it in whatever their home world was. They named it after Luna, the goddess in their new one. And they used it to battle demon horns when they made the crossing through the Northern Rift. Peleus wielded the horn till he died. He fueled it with his starborn power. basically the horn was like powerful enough and they could open these rifts and everything like that, that like the demon princess, i.e. the princess of hell, were like, we've got to fucking get rid of this horn. And it broke. It broke when he finally, when Peleus led his people through the Northern Rift, like that's when it supposedly like just broke, like power gone. And then there's like Rune. This is hilarious because I like even today I was like, oh, that makes sense. So Rune shows like a picture that is a painting of Peleus with the horn, right? And above him is an 8-pointed star, the emblem of the Starborn. At that, Hunt notices Bryce went wholly still, the stillness of a fae, like a stag halting in a wood. That's because Bryce is like, that 8-pointed star looks familiar. Ooh, I've seen that before. So then this is where we find out like why Rune called them here. So basically we find out that the Star Eater, i.e. seventh prince of hell, he bred a demon that is specifically designed to hunt the horn. He spilled Prince Peleus's blood, used it in his own like terrible essence. Interesting. And it's a beast twisted out of the collision of light and darkness. He shows like a drawing of it to Bryce. Bryce physically recoils and is like, that's that bitch. That's that demon from that night. So it is in like the deepest, darkest of like pit of the pit. It's starless, that its name is Crystallos, because it has clear blood and teeth. Because remember, we like noticed that, like she noticed that and that encounter. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Gross.
And Bryce is just like, why did it fucking take 2 years? And that's when Rune's like, I think it actually took 2 years because he only found mention of this demon. Part of it's the Fae's fault, by the way. He only found the Fae or the mention of this demon in a book that is like so deep in the Fae archives, which only like Fae can go into. And they're very specific about what Fae can go into it. They're a bunch of pricks. And it was so far back, and it's one of their books that they're not allowed to scan. So it's not even available for the public at all, or online or anything. And the only reason Rune found it was because he was doing a bunch of research, and like the Autumn King said, Starborn power, light calls to light, as we know SJM likes to say. The book, like, basically, like, made itself known to him. Like, it called to him. And that's the only reason. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, we find out, like, once the horn was broken, like, the Fae and the Asiri tried for a while to fix it. Just wasn't happening. So, really, the last kind of big thing was just, why the fuck does the Autumn King want it?
Right.
And Rune is like, pride. He wants it returned to the Fae, and he wants me to do it quietly. That's not, like, the full story, and we know it, but he can't really tell them. Like, he made some weird comments about, like, they need the strength. He wants to, like, get his people. Because we know the Autumn King knows what the horn can do. And that's why he wants it. So, Hunt, while they're, like, talking, Hunt, like, walks out of the temple to basically update his team to get them researching this demon. And he scares the shit out of some temple acolytes, but then one's, like, nice to him or whatever. And we find out that the temple acolytes, they have a delicate chain across their brow, and it has a waxing moon. And then when she is, reaches maturity, she'll trade the crescent for a full cycle, like a full moon. And then when she gets older, it's the waning moon. Seems really familiar. Again, just saying. Let's see here. Dude, nothing really too much. Justinian, he calls him to research the demon. Justinian's like, all right, yeah, we find out that, like, everybody's super fucking on edge. And I'm trying to think who it was. Oh, yeah, like, Pollux, Sandriel, all of them, the ones that are there already, the ones that are coming, like, everyone's on edge. So Justinian's like, honestly, this might be, like, babysitting duty could be a chore or, like, a punishment, but at the same time, at least you're not dealing with this shit. And then Justinian's like, also, she's pretty pretty, like, she's pretty hot, like, you get to hang out with, like, a dope, hot female. And he goes, no one gets a medal for suffering the most, you know, it's been 2 centuries since Shahar died, Hunt, fuck you, Shahar. And he's just like, oh, no, I'm not talking about this, oh, blah, blah. So he's still, like, kind of hung up on it. Whatever. And that's when he starts to realize everybody had treated the, like, theft of the horn as, like, a prank. But then he's like, everyone except the Autumn King. Interesting. And that's basically, he's just like, great, so the horn could be involved in this. We're going to have to involve the Autumn King and the Fae more. And he's like, but what's worse, I have to work with Rune Danon to do it. So it's always fun. Like, I just find it funny how much they dislike each other at this point, because we know they end up, like, kind of being bros, essentially. So, and that's that. That's that. So again, mostly those chapters just kind of, they push the plot along a little bit, but it's more to give you information in a study stream, essentially, because we learn all kinds of stuff. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Well, we've got time, Maddie. What are you currently reading? Stag Romance, I heard.
So it's actually these novellas of, like, bear shifter romances, and they're all MMM, so, you know, it's like speaking my language.
You talked about these on Thursday's episode.
Yes. I'm on book 12.
It's pretty good.
Anyway, the last one had a stag in it, so that's where that came from. So that was cute. It was like a stag for two bears or something. I don't even remember. But it was, I don't know. Like, these are not the most, like, prolific reads, but they're so fun when I'm, like, late at night and I'm tired and I just want to, like, read some shit. And it's saving me money because I've spent probably $300 on Smashwords in the last, like, month and a half.
That's honestly a bit impressive.
I just, like...
That's pretty impressive.
I'm in my, like, read everything people would be appalled by era.
Love that for you.
And I'm obsessed. Matter of fact, I, like... I low-key stalked this author.
Oh, okay. We love... Okay, okay, sure, sure. This.
Smashwords author, whom I'm obsessed with. I've read everything they've written. I'm like, I can't get enough of it. I just want more. Okay. Couldn't find them. So I'm like doing research. I like found their random website. Still no contact info. They have no socials. They have nothing. Blah, blah, blah. I venture down a Reddit. A Reddit form to find out that they have a pen name. And I was like, fuck, oh, yes. Then I go, I start reading that, and then I find their, like, random email. It's, like, the one way you can contact them, and I send them this really obsessive email.
Is it, like, 4 a.m. or some shit at this
point?
I'm
for sure blocked because, like, they didn't respond. God. I sent it, like, 4 days ago. I am for sure blocked, and I was like, oh...
That's fair.
Okay. They probably, like, don't get emails like that very often, and I'm just over here like, oh, do-do-do-do-do.
Wow.
I just wanted to know if they were still writing.
Oh, maybe it's a sore topic. Maybe that's why. Maybe you're not blocked. They're just, like, trying to figure
they
out
how they just had on. Something come out in December. I just wanted to make sure.
Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know then. Jesus.
I finished book 3
of this
Flame and Shadow.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. It. She's already said you don't want to know.
No,
we all knew it wouldn't be your.
Well, okay, I'll say this. This was like the least romantic book SJM has ever written.
Yeah, it is. It is,
for sure. And it had, and I will die on my hill saying this. It had the most vanilla sex I've ever read. And I was just like, oof. I was like, all that for some, like, low-key vanilla sex. Like, and you got, like, 3 scenes of it and it was, like, done. I was like, well, this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, not counting any of that as spoilers, because if anybody's been on any book talk, you know that's, like,
that is not a spoiler at all.
No.
This is, like... Like, good for SJM if she wants to transition into the high fantasy business, but...
I'm curious if, like, maybe that's what she's going to do with this series, but then keep it with ACOTAR. Like, we'll see what the next ACOTAR, but you know what I mean? Like, if she stays with it with ACOTAR, I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, like, so?
I think that's what
I'm just
see.
Like, let's stop marketing this as romanticy. Like, I don't want to see it. It's just, it's high fantasy. It's whatever.
Dude, don't, no, that's a story when we have more time. Remind me of a recent trip to Barnes & Noble, and I have a lot of questions about their system.
Oh,
they've changed it
I
again,
have
and
so
I'm
so many questions. I recently went there too, and I was like, no.
So many questions that I'll leave it at that. What am I? Right. So, again, I have to correct because it was in the Patreon episode, that I corrected myself, but I'll say it again. It is not the book that I read that was Pirates and I loved it. It's not the Under King. It is the Ever King. I don't know why I do it. I've done it multiple times in group chats. I'm sorry. It's by L.J. Andrews. Fucking love that book so much. I'm
and
reading
you can't
the sequel.
Remember the title.
I know. I'm reading the single, The Ever Queen. Very, very good. I'm like 65-70% in, so I'm hoping to finish that one today. And then do not worry, I am reading. I know not only my group chats, SJM Spiral chat, other people have reached out too because the sequel comes out, I guess, in a couple days. I think this coming Wednesday. I am reading How Does It Feel by Janine O'Reilly next. I have been told that when I started, I need to keep everyone updated, so I will. I am a bit nervous to read it, because I know, all I know is, like, I guess the end literally, like, is a mind fuck, so we'll see how that goes. My reading has, dipped a little, this past week. One, work is flaring up again, which is super annoying, and, to be real honest, I mentioned it in the Patreon episode. I put it in the Discord if you play. I am, like, way back into Pokemon Go. Thank you to my lovely husband and Tanner and Cyber for that. So, judge me all you want. It's fine. So I've been doing that. And then, like I said, work was just kind of a bitch this past week, which is sad. Sad. So, social media. Maddie, what do we got?
Oh, wow. ACOTR podcast. It's been a while.
It's
ACOTR
been a while.
Podcast. Okay, Breathless Lip PA. Just come
We're
to
everywhere.
Us. Come chat with us.
Maddie's got a website.
I do. I forgot. I do have a website. I haven't posted anything about it yet. If you want to, like, go look at it, it's pretty. Breathlesslit.com. So.
Hot damn.
It's cute.
Our shout out this week goes to our friend Edie because she has a beautiful little boy, little baby. And also, I would just like to say she is the most.
I
thought it was a boy.
I thought it was a girl.
Wait,
I thought it was a girl. Is it a boy?
Are you kidding me right now?
I thought it was a girl.
No, you crazy.
What? I don't know where I was in my mind. I thought it was a girl. That's what I thought. Rin. I thought Rin was a girl.
What are you talking about?
The baby's name is Rin.
I thought it was a boy.
This is why Blake and I can never be parents.
We can't. Because also, though, like...
I thought it was a girl.
Now I'm insane. Because I guess I'm always like, I can't tell... Because Ren could be a boy or a girl name, and I didn't want to say anything.
I thought it was a girl.
Now I'm confused.
Well, I mean, it had a pink hat on in the photos.
Oh, I didn't notice. I was too distracted by the adorable cheeks.
I mean, I could be wrong.
I don't know. Everybody's going to laugh at us and think we're terrible friends. Because we're not, because we're literally looking through.
Okay, but did you see what I just said?
No, I didn't. Not yet. But it's okay, guys. Regardless, Edie has a beautiful little baby.
Yeah. A beautiful baby, and we're terrible friends.
We're terrible friends, but you guys don't even understand. Maddie and I both do not like babies, okay? We sent these pictures of this baby, and Maddie and I both are like, oh my god, that baby's adorable!
If I'm gonna like a baby, it'll be this
It's gotta be. Oh my god.
But like, Maddie, other than that, no.
Literally, his little cheeksies.
I like her baby, and I like Jack's babies, and then I'm done. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty limited. I'm pretty limited in babies I like. So, sorry, we're terrible people, apparently. Well, part of it is because my name is Blake, I don't, when I see a name that could go either way, I'm always just like, I don't know. You know, like, I'm more aware of it. So I'm like, I don't know. And like, the last Ren I read in a book was a guy. So I don't know.
Oh, God. I really don't. Hold on. Baby.
And Edie's so, like, chill. I don't know if she didn't really do, like, a huge thing.
I just kind of thought it was. I don't know. Like.
Because I thought Kelsey said, I can't wait to meet him.
Could be.
Yeah, Kelsey said, can't wait to meet him. Boom. It is a boy.
Oh, good for you.
Woo! Either way, though, regardless, first off, can we just, real quick, the name Ren, that is such a dope name. That is such a cool name, regardless of a boy or a girl. Like, I'm actually, like, I don't know. There's some names that I hear and I'm like, God, that's good. I'm like almost jealous that I'm like, how'd you think of that? That's a good name. You know? Also, my brother and my sister-in-law will not tell us. They have a list of names, but they won't even list any of the names, which is fine. Okay, you know what? Fine. I even just asked, I was like, do you have like a first letter picked out? Maybe? I just want to start getting stuff monogrammed and I can't. Mm. I just want like some cute little monogram stuff for her and I can't. Anyways, okay, last thing, book club for this month is House of Flame and Shadow. It's tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Kaylin will be on for that. She's still, you know, traveling back from Florida, little bitch.
I won't be there.
I know, sweetie.
I don't want to bring down the mood. Like, you all are so excited. Shan's gonna miss it too, just FYI.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like Shan had a lot of different feelings.
No, she had a lot of same feelings as I did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I saw, like, some of her posts in Discord, too, were, like, about the, like, fantasy side of it, too. She seemed okay, but, like, same feelings as you, which, again,
honestly, there. I'm not gonna lie, though. Like, looking at reviews, it was not that highly rated.
I think it's the least rated of the three, for sure. I'm pretty sure. There's a lot of contention about it. I think it's one that people, their feelings will shift one way or another with rereads as it goes, either better or worse. Honestly, it could go either way for a lot of people. So I'm curious to see where it ends up. You know what I mean? Like, down the line. Either way.
Yeah, it is the lowest rated. It is the lowest rated. That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that honestly doesn't surprise me, and I still enjoyed the book. So, I don't know. So that's at 8 p.m. Eastern today when this drops, February 25th. And then we'll get March Book Club picks up, if not tonight, tomorrow. Don't worry, How Does It Feel will be one of them. I have been told to include that on the list. And then we'll be back Thursday with Thirsty Thursday. And that's all I got.
Great
time. So, as always, cheers to our high fae bays. Bye!